Welcome to the FC Cincy Beat podcast. I'm Pat Brennan, your host. We have retreated from our usual podcast destination recording spot at Ryan House in OTR in the wake of the playoff loss. We're certainly happy to have FC Cincinnati head coach John Harkes back in our newsroom. That much I am certain of. John, welcome back.
Pat, no, it was a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. And I wish we were here on different terms, but certainly I was glad to be joined by you.
Many Cincinnatians join you in that sentiment. I know a lot of people were hoping to make a trip down to Lou City this weekend, but here we are. FC Cincinnati was eliminated from the USL playoffs Sunday by Charleston Battery, which concluded with what I'm sure was an exhausting year for you. I know I was exhausted at times along the way and probably didn't do half as much work as you.
Just as I felt in the post game at the end of the season, at the end of Charleston, I thanked you guys for the coverage you provided, and I truly, honestly mean that. I think that, you know, you and I, you get the game. I'm always appreciative of, I would say, the coverage, but I'm also even more so, I've been wowed by your knowledge of the game and your passion for the game and just the way that you approach everything. So from my perspective, it's I always have time for Pat Brennan. And I mean that.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. That means a lot coming from you, obviously. We'll carry on with the love fest here.
We got a little bromance going here, don't we?
We do. It's a crush.
It's an interesting podcast.
It's a crush, yeah. Romance by John and Pat. That's the other podcast.
And now on to the supporters party at Moorland House. Let's go get a pint. No. Oh,
man. Not touching that one. But as I was saying, you must be ready for a break. I know you haven't had one yet. You've had 4 days to digest the loss. You've had a variety of meetings. What have the last 4 weeks, say nothing for the special honor you guys received at City Hall yesterday.
Yeah, it's
been a little bit crazy. What has the last 4 days been like for you? Have you had time to digest the loss?
You know, it's funny because it's a great question, and sometimes people don't ask you that enough. Like, and then you got to check yourself and say, man, have I really, you know, am I in mourning? Am I going to recognize it? Am I, you know, for me, it's like hard work. Let's go. Let's start right away. What I have to figure out, what, you know, from my perspective as a coach, what do I need to be better at? You know, what I got to do? What I got to push these guys? And, you know, maybe it's something about the preparation, but that's what you always do as a coach. And it's not like you're second guessing yourself. I'm always the alchemist. I always want to learn more, and I want to look at our training sessions, what we did in preparation. I want to see if we, you know, if the guys were fresh enough, you know, to go and get that result. But that's what you do as a coach. I mean, you always do that. And to be fair, I mean, I look back on the game. I've seen it twice now, plus live, you know, and you learn more about the game and more about our players. And we completely dominated that game. You know, I mean, if I walked away from that and I thought, they were pretty good and, you know, okay, they battled and this is how they got their goals, and I'd be like, okay, it's easier to swallow. But the fact that we completely dominated that game, we dictated, our ball circulation was excellent, our possession was excellent. One of the things that I've been, you know, pushing on the players this year, though, is that we have to be nastier in front of the goal. We have to be cleaner in front of the goal. When our chances come, we've got to bury them. And what a tremendous goal by Eric. I mean, unbelievable strike from Eric Stevenson. And here's a guy, you know, with so many surgeries, and 18 months ago was told that he'll never kick a ball again. So I take pride in giving guys a platform and managing them the right way to get them back to where they can be, the potential. I mean, look at Corbin Bone, the way he played throughout the year. Look at Sean Okoli. Now Sean's gone and got the 16 goals and the leading goal scorer there. We've accomplished so much as a club. So for me, from my perspective, it's like, yes, really frustrating. It's like I said to you before we came on the podcast, you know when your last game of the season is going to be in a normal, you know, overseas, La Liga gets it, you know. We were like, okay, we're going into the playoffs. What's next? We got to prepare. We got to be ready. Okay, well, and then it ends abruptly. We have all this positive energy. We have all this, you know, experience this, you know, this push to go to the next level. And we have to step back and go, okay, what were the positives here? Well, there was a lot of positives this year. We connected with the city. We ignited the city. We ignited, and the passion was already there. The fan base that came out from the first kickoff at home in the first game when it was freezing cold and rain was coming down and it was 14,000 plus all the way to the last game in the first playoff game at home. To qualify for the playoffs was a massive goal that I set, and for the guys. And we pushed hard, and we did it.
And not to interject, not every first year. There were several, multiple first-year USL franchises in the league this year, and not all of them did it. Some that did were, you know, San Antonio, I think, scraped their way in. So it was not an easy task, what you accomplished.
No, I agree with that, and I think it's a good point. But we did it with style, too. We did it with style, so people want to come back and they want to be entertained. They like what they're seeing on the field. It's easy to get some results by playing, you know, ugly or playing a direct style and being physical and everything else. There's another thing is saying we're building the brand. We're putting something out there on the field that people can be proud of and want to watch. You know, when Alan Pardew of Crystal Palace says, "Harksey, it's amazing what you're doing here," and look at that. It was like a cup final. You know, he was like, "I love it." And then he sends out best wishes through social media to us, and I'm like, how many Premier League managers are doing that to anybody? Never mind a club in the USL. Who does that?
Yeah, there were a lot of people caught off guard by that. I think a lot of things for the players, for you even maybe, a lot of how cool, for lack of a better word, some of these experiences were, might not really hit home for a couple weeks or maybe a couple months. Sometime in January, you might be sitting at home and you'll realize, wow, like, how great was that? The point you just made is, who does that in the Premier League?
I was like, what? I was checking that again. You know, like you're pouring champagne on your phone. What? Yeah. You know, I'm like, is Pardew just saying that?
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of great things, you know, and firsts. And, you know, for me, extremely happy, but not satisfied.
Yeah.
Really hungry. My motto, I told you from the beginning, for the players is humble and hungry.
Yeah.
We have to continue to be hungry and be better. We got to be better next year so that this year we're talking about the next game.
Yeah.
Not talking about what we just did.
Yeah. Well, you are devouring my prepared list of questions. So I'm
sorry.
Interrupt. No.
Like your discussion.
Get it
off your
podcast. John, I love talking with you. Get it off your chest. Now's the time. Can be cathartic for both. We're staring into the abyss of the off season.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't good. We both need to
help me.
We both need to process this. We can do it together. But with 16 wins, FC Cincinnati, as I mentioned, finished with the third best record in all of USL, by far the most successful regular season campaign of the first year USL franchises. Fell short in the playoffs. Is there anything you would change about the roster? Is there anything you would change throughout the whole regular season you would change about the way you managed?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, you always reflect back and you say, like, I could approach this differently or I could have tweaked that lineup. And, that's part of the process of coaching. That's part of everyday living. Everyday living is like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that last night. Why? Oh, I probably should have had a salad. Okay. So how do you approach the next day? Well, you change. And so, you know, from my perspective, yeah, as a first-time head coach, I thought, man, what an incredible experience I just had. I learned a lot in so many different areas of a club. You know, beforehand, being part of DC United in the first year of Major League Soccer, I told everybody I was a salesman, you know. You're a salesman. You're going out in the community. You're like almost every day after training, you're doing something. You're making appearances. I think we had to do that to the city. We connected so well. And I just feel like the passion came and the people were like coming in the numbers, but they were educated people that loved the game. And so when you're talking to the BBC or you're talking to the Telegraph overseas or you're talking to somebody in La Liga that I've coached with before or played with before, and they're like, what is happening there? And I'm like, a lot of success. And now we take it, for me as a coach, and I say, you know, in this game I needed this a little bit more, you know, or that player needed to give me something more up front or hold the ball, or this guy's got to get the ball off his feet quicker and play two touch or one touch, or, you know, can we take them on in a little bit wider areas of the field? And, you know, all of that comes into play because then it helps you. You have all the ammunition, the collective and your information, you know, to be thorough. And I think we pride ourselves, our staff, on being very thorough in preparation, videos and everything. We work. We love working. I mean, that's not an issue because it's you love the game and you want to be better. And so, yeah, you just continue to add to yourself, like, you know, what do we need as a team? Well, number one thing I'm going to say before I even consider bringing other players into this roster, which you always do, you always have to improve your roster, but is I am incredibly proud of this group. And, you know, what they accomplished from an individual basis, from a collective basis, from the mentality of the guys, the way they got through adversity and the travel and everything else. I mean, I'm like, there are so many things that could have easily set back a club. And, you know, we lost our first back-to-back games in New York and Charlotte in very awkward and incredibly disoriented situations.
Yeah.
And and so for a lot of clubs and a lot of teams, especially in your first year, you would have seen a big plummet. And we still came back, and we came back strong, and we came back, you know, with shutouts. We came back with no losing records, and we came back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, oh, there's that character.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
That probably speaks to your managerial style, which is the next thing I wanted to get into. Over the last few months, I've done, you know, we've tried to do this podcast thing late on in the season, and I've tried to gain from some of your players a deeper understanding of your managerial style, and from your players, the phrase that keeps coming up is players manager. And I want to get from you, how would you describe your managerial style, both in terms of tactician, leader, and maybe even from an organizational standpoint, keeping the, because you're at sometimes have to act as a kind of a CEO of kind of on the boots on the ground operations. How would you describe yourself as a manager?
Honest, caring, driven, competitive, but balanced. I guess that all comes to mind of like how I approach things. I've learned a lot from a lot of coaches before me.
What were some of the guiding principles that you came in with, and have they seen you to success? Well, obviously they've seen you to quite a bit of success. But what were your guiding principles
from the,
coming
from
in?
The American coaches that I've learned from, you know, my first university coach was Bruce Arena at UVA. And then certainly I worked with him at DC United, you know, as we were building together, you know, both as coach and player. You know, and certainly Bob Riley I've worked with, you know, overseas. Ron Atkinson, my first manager, that gave me my first opportunity to break into the English game, that believed in me and pushed me on and challenged me every day. And, you know, there were some things I didn't like and some things that you reflect back on as you get older and you go, whew, I needed that. And you don't realize it at the time. And I was telling some of my players now that's the same thing. I'm going to challenge you in different ways. And a lot of guys may see playing time and a lot of guys may not. But at the same time, there's a balance and it's all for the collective. And if you understand your role and you want to continue to push, give me the headache. Give me the headache of when I have to make decisions. I want it.
Yeah.
I want that because that means that we're getting better. And so that's the type of coach I am. I think, you know, I'm a respectful coach. I respect the players that I have around me. I respect the energy that goes into everyday training and preparation and the battles that they fight and the bruisings that come up on their bodies. I respect that. I understand that. And, you know, learning to balance that, learning to balance the front office, learning to balance playing in a football stadium, learning to balance, you know, all these things, travel, sleeper buses, all the things that go into being part of a USL in the first year, it was hard. And so for me, I'm better for it. Now I know how to approach things a little bit differently and say, can we be more prepared? Can we, you know, the way that we travel or the way we train prior to leaving that day, you know, or the recovery process or our strength and conditioning. You know, how do we, like, let's really, now we have time. People, I was talking to Glenn Crooks from SiriusXM, mm-hmm. who does New York City FC and stuff like that, and I said, you know, Glenn, the only positive about finishing early is that you have more time to get to work. So for me, it's I have more time to prepare now. And our guys do too, because a lot of guys coming in the preseason, we had a couple of injuries and stuff, but I'm building from scratch. And so I'm getting these guys and I'm saying, what are they like? I got to get their personalities, you know, what makes them tick.
Yeah.
And then how fit are they, Pat? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now I have a chance to put a program together to give to them wholly and say, this is what you need. You need to be more explosive. You need to be more of a beast on the field.
Last year, you didn't know people were coming in all kinds of different.
Well, yeah. I mean, I picked them for a reason based on their ability, right? Right. So I see a player and I say, okay, I know what he's capable of, but God, I need to do him more. So how am I going to get that? So let's work. And so now you're working through that part as you're building chemistry, as you're trying to get results, and you're trying to keep people happy. And so you're, like, juggling.
It's an incredible juggling act.
You're juggling a lot.
Yeah.
But I have great staff, man.
Yeah.
I have a great staff. I'm only as good as the people around me. I will honestly tell you that from day one. And these guys are awesome, man. They you know, Ryan Martin, you know, Nate Kish came in later, does a great job. You know, Jamie Starr with the goalkeepers did a great job. I mean, I have great people working for me. I have Aaron Powell as my athletic trainer, like a young kid that like came in and got thrown at so many things and adversity and came through it really well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Ben Yaus as well. I mean, we have to juggle him. He's a part-time guy. He comes in strength and conditioning. Like, I need more of him.
Yeah.
You know? So these are all the things we discuss in the off season, which is only going to help us be better on the field.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm really happy for what we put together here.
And before we take a quick break, is there anything you've learned about through managing FC Cincinnati? Is there anything you've learned about John Harkes, the person?
Yeah, I've become a little bit more organized.
Really?
Yes.
How so?
Just handling different tasks and being able to give the energy to each task. I've learned that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even my wife tells me that.
Really?
Yeah, so juggling being away and family and back and forth and traveling, two kids in universities, you know, that are south and, you know, Wake Forest and Clemson, and your daughter's in high school and dealing with that as a father and husband and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's been able to juggle that.
All right.
It's been hard.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with John Harkes. Okay, we're back with FC Cincinnati. Head coach John Harkes, bit of an exit interview for he and I.
We will cry later.
We will, yeah. In private, not on the podcast. When does the off season begin for you, John? Like the proper off season.
Wow.
Will you get a break at any point?
I don't know if I'll get a full break, but I think it's important to set time aside to decompress. I think if you do that and get away from the game just for a little bit, although I'm going up to see Notre Dame play this weekend against my son's Wake Forest.
In soccer.
Yeah, in soccer.
Oh, that'll be a great game.
Yeah.
I was going to say football. What an incredible waste of time.
No, in soccer.
Okay, that'll be
great. I still have to do the Ohio State thing. I haven't been to a game there.
It's fantastic.
I heard it's amazing. Well, so it's on my bucket list. And talk to Jeff Birding about it. He's like, you need to do it.
I'll be your escort.
All right. I would love to do that. Seriously. Yeah. We just got to scalp tickets, though, because I don't know anybody.
You know me now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No, but I think it's important to take time to enjoy other things and to be with my family more and, to give as much as I did to the season, I have to give to them. And so – but there's, the work to be done is scouting again, bringing players in. I don't have to add 26 players to my roster this year. So to me, that's like, wow, that was a daunting task. And, collectively as a group, we got through it. And, now we've got to tweak and change a little bit. We certainly do. And we have to add. And, so there's always constant work, Pat.
Yeah.
I think there's constant work. But there's also that balance of enjoying life and saying, I'm going to my daughter's game in high school, or I'm doing this, or I'm traveling here, I'm scouting a college player, I'm talking to a college coach like Bobby Clark, that's like I have deep respect for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you know, all those things, you know, watching University of Cincinnati players, watching Louisville players, yeah. You know, I mean, Xavier, everything. You know, you got to take that into account. You got to plan it properly and have the right schedule set aside. So if I can do that and have the time where I enjoy and balance so that I come back fresh, you have to have the energy to come back fresh again and bring that energy. If you don't bring it, guys see it. And so I've got to be able to step away from the game. It's very important.
If you need someone to take you up and introduce you to John Bloom at Ohio State, I'll be
happy. I know John.
All right.
So everybody knows everybody in soccer. It's such a small world. We're all connected through Kevin Bacon in soccer.
Speaking of that, it was a big week for a member of your fraternity, that of the American soccer manager. Bob Bradley introduced as manager of Swansea City. He was the first American to hold that position in the English top flight. And you and Bob share a bit of common ground in that, don't you know?
Yeah,
right. So my question is then, what advice would you have for Bob? Having, I think you're pretty uniquely experienced. You're in a unique position where you could give Bob some pretty solid advice. I know you and I have talked this past year about, you know, the taunts and the chants you would hear from the grandstands. What kind of adversity should Bob expect, and what advice would you have for your Northern New Jersey brethren?
Well, I think it's important to one state that Bob's a very intelligent guy, and you know, I would always say to Bob, be thick-skinned, you know. But Bob has done that. I think through his experiences in Egypt, where he was dealing with political issues and life and death situations, as well as managing a group in a very maybe hostile environment.
Yeah.
I was like, my goodness. I mean, I would at times reach out to him and just say, are you and, you know, his wife Lindsay and the family, are you guys okay? Is everything going well? You know what I mean?
Mm.
So I think he's built up that resilience, you know, Pat. I think he's got that thick skin.
Yeah.
I think he's prepared for what he's doing. He's going in there. You know, you're always going to have people that are going to question you, be critical and stuff, and you got to own that, and you just say, you know, that's part of it. It's always fascinating, though, that when people make comments or opinions on things that they have no idea what it's about. Like, they've never been in the trenches before. They've never coached, you know. To me, I just hope that Bob does well. I hope that the players buy into what his philosophy is. I hope he has a good staff around him. And I wish him well, but he's hardened. I mean, he go and work with a small club, Stabæk, and then he's working with the Hav in second division, and he's doing so well with them, and they were one goal away from being promoted and a goal differential. He scored five, should have had six. I mean, it's crazy. So he understands how close he's been there. He's hungry. You know, he wants to prove himself. I wish him all the best. I did send him a note. We exchanged some emails back and forth.
Nice.
And I was still – seeking advice from him up until 6 weeks ago, you know, and Bruce Arena as well, you know, about coaching. And, hey, what'd you do when this happens? And did I handle this right? And they're like, yep, you did a good job. Keep it going.
Nice.
I'm like, all right, it's very simple.
Can you share what those situations were?
I said, when you're dealing with the adversity of, you didn't get the result. And I'm always a guy that kind of – there's times where I'll be feisty in the locker room and I'll fight and I'll, you know, ball guys out and I'll get after him. But I'm saying it to him because I said, I know what you're capable of. Like, you should not be judging yourself on your successes, like John Wooden says. You should be judging yourself on what you've succeeded doing with the ability you've been given. That's the number one thing. And so – I said, I went off on the boys, you know, up in Toronto. I went off of the boys at halftime. And they're like, you know, you have to get after him sometimes. You can't always coddle him, you know. And so seeking that advice, and I said, did I do the right thing? They said, did you get the result? And I said, yeah, we did. We won 2-1. They go, then you did the right thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's easier said than done. But
yeah. Now, you're an outgoing, kind of gregarious, friendly person. Is it hard for you to – Get on players sometimes? Do you have to kind of challenge yourself to do that?
No.
No?
No, I think it comes out because of the passion that you see, you know. And I was my competitive fiery spirit made me be a good player. You know, it gave me confidence, you know, to even if somebody doubted me, you know, like even in England they were doubting me. I was like, no, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to set this as a goal. you can't just do that and say mentally, here's my imagery, here's what I'm going to do. You have to have ability to do it. And so I like to work hard, you know, at my trade and be sharp to be able to move the ball quickly in England. The game's so much faster, and I had to adapt, and I had to work hard at that. So I put the extra time in to do that and get fitter and stronger and everything. And so, you know, with Bob, he's going to go in there. He's going to face a lot of people. What if he doesn't get a result in the first game? It's against Arsenal. It's after the international break. What a big challenge that is. So if he doesn't get it, what are the papers going to say the next day?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Bradley out. Yeah. So he's already, I think he's well aware of that. Yeah. He's a very good guy, and he's very intelligent. I think it says a lot for American soccer. The game has become so much more global, but it's still, I think there's still that cliche and that old kind of perceptions reality that if you don't have an English accent, you're not a good coach.
Yeah. As someone coming up behind him through the ranks, do you feel like he's punched through a glass ceiling for you, another American?
I hope so. I mean, I think this could be a great thing. I mean, you know, a lot of players that went over to England after I did, and they would say, thank you so much for all your sacrifices and what you did. And I was like, man, God, guys, I was just doing what I love, you know, but thank you. I mean, you've done it on your own accord because you're talented.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so, I mean, I hope that he is successful, Pat, because if he is, then that may open the door for more guys to get experience over there. I would love to get over there and have some experience.
Yeah.
I think it's tremendous. Why not?
I was going to ask you, what's your ultimate goal in managing?
To be successful, to win trophies, and to constantly be pushed and enjoy what I'm doing, to be better. You know, I'm the alchemist. I want to learn from everybody. I am. You have to. I learn in conversations from somebody at a gas station. I mean, you have to be open that way. You can't close the door on anything. And so for me, if there's more challenges ahead, I want to get Cincinnati, you know, at the highest level in soccer. If that means that we win USL next year and we win it again the year after, and then someone says, hey, well, you're coming to MLS. And I say, well, that's fantastic. Then I get to coach there. So there's a whole new landscape to coach in. It's new challenging, but it's got to make sense for my family. It's got, you know what I mean? And then that's key, because being a, you know, that's part of your responsibility to the family.
I think objectively it has been a fantastic season. I think you've achieved greatly. I don't think everyone expected the success on the field that you actually achieved, but incredible accomplishment.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Is there, before we sign off, is there any last message you'd like to leave Cincinnatians with? But as you head off into the abyss,
I would say this, and I mean this sincerely. It really does take a village, and what we were doing on the field was matched off the field. So, you know, from Jeff Birding and from Carlin III and all our minority owners and to the passionate, you know, the people that the operations, people that pushed themselves to take it, guys, everybody. It took everybody in our club to do what we did, and took this city. This city took a lot of belief in us, and they encouraged us when we were losing, and they were very loyal. And, you know, we've got to sustain that. We've got to keep it going and keep growing from here. So I hope that they continue to come back and support FC Cincinnati and know exactly what we're doing. And, you know, because of them, they make us hungrier and they make us want to put that jersey on.
They built this city on soccer and blood orange IPA.
There you go, son. Yes. We have to support that with the supporters. We have to celebrate.
That's right. Let's go do that right now. John, as always, it has been my pleasure.
Pat, my pleasure as well. I really appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.